Hello and welcome into the Sora Data Show. I'm Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on Sora, joined once again by PSU fans too today to say goodbye to the old SoRare as the new SoRare, or really just the transition to the new SoRare, starts tomorrow. Sean, what's up?
I mean, they have nothing posted, right? We have no idea what's going to happen.
We have no idea.
Waiting for there to be like technical issues. They're like, we're just going to not have anything this week or something.
Quinny was saying how like they probably need to do some sort of like reboot or something. And he's like, hopefully it comes back.
I will say I tried to build, not tried, like I like loosely looked at shit. Have no idea what to do this upcoming weekend.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit. Thanks everyone for coming in. Looks like Mike of Pompeii, good riddance. Looking forward to the new format. Just hope it works. Petter and Philly Dilly, are we actually saying goodbye? Are the new game weeks finally here? Yes and no. Congratulations to you three on the podium. So we're Juju close to the podium, but second one who liked. Everyone can go like as well. Giuseppe, what's up? No podium for me. Playing poker and listening to the podcast. What better thing is there to do? Did Sean play poker professionally before his DFS career?
Semi-professionally. Like, I played when I was younger. So basically, I'll give the quick story on it. So when I was in college, I played poker and paid for college via playing poker. And then my plan was to play professionally permanently. And then my parents were not with that idea. So the plan was...
Parents are such downers, man.
Yeah, it was terrible. So they were also against DFS also when we eventually got there, but I had a bit more leg to stand on in that one. So anyways, they wanted me to finish my degree, and my degree resulted in having to do basically a 40-hour a week job for like a semester. That was basically like my final thing. And so the plan was, is I was going to finish that. And then once I was done with that, I was going to play poker professionally. And basically what happened is I got offered a job from the hockey team that I worked for at the end of it. And then Black Friday hit poker. For those unfamiliar with what that is, you basically, online poker became illegal and like sites shut down like April 15th. And my internship was like ending the end of April that month. And so I basically just like was like, well, shit, I have no real opportunity to play that makes sense. So I guess I'll just take this job and continue doing it and then live the next 3 years of my life being miserable in that job because it was horrendous.
That's the bad Black Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and here we are, Sean. Here we are. Speaking of who else is here, looking for food, Nils, Mike Baston, Stefan, what's up? Kev Hurd. Mike Baston said, not all of the old spare going. Unfortunately, we'll still see the same fucked up prize pools. We'll see. Sorry, fecked up. My fault. Glenn, what's up? Toby, goodbye, old Sora. Hello, new and hopefully more fun Sora. Excuse me. Kev Hurd, excited for the changes. Well, until August at least. We'll get more changes then. It'll be great. Johannatin, what's up? Kai is here live. Appreciate you coming in. Jack Jarvis. SR Monkey, two live shows in a day. SR Monkey was like, oh, the game week preview will be like 5 minutes. Harry and I banged out 38, because why not? Alex Wilson, I look forward to winning less, but calling more leagues absolute trash. Your words, not mine. It's Wilson, Rui, Tuggy, what's up? Shaforkle. Philly Dilly pointing out that you said goodbye to your beard.
I did. It was the like quarterly shave and haircut.
The quarterly shave.
Yeah, it's been like every 2 to 3 months, give or take.
Okay. Yeah, everybody's saying goodbye to it.
Yep.
Anyway.
It'll be back.
Ian says you look 15 years younger, which I agree with.
I do look younger without the beard. I look really a lot younger if it was like clean shaven. Like this is, so I got it shaved last Monday. So this is a week, but like, I don't like go down and use like a razor. I just get it done at my barber.
Yep. Yep. I get it. Let's see. Anion's excited. Toby, it's natural for me to prioritize in-season contender and my strongest matchups there. There we go. Andy said your mom wouldn't sign the permission slip to play poker online. So I mean, basically. Simo, what's up? No more poker face. I love that. Mike Baston was wondering if you were the goaltender.
No, but I did do some goaltender-related stuff sometimes.
What a silly thing to say. I did goaltender related. What the hell does that mean?
I would go out there and be on the ice sometimes, and we would just shoot around, and I would play goalie.
Oh, you would play goalie. Okay. What about this? You could have moved to Vegas.
Yeah, so I could have, but, like, here's the thing. Live poker sucks. Unless – no, it just sucks. I mean, unless you just don't play often and you enjoy it, then, like, it's nice. But, like, playing live poker for every, like, 6 days a week for, like, 8 hours a day sounds, like, absolute, like, awful.
It really does. It really does.
Horrendous.
Yeah. Agreed. And I don't even play online poker, but like in-person poker sounds.
Oof. Yeah. I used to, so when I was in college, like I'd play my last semester of like actual school. I was like, I think I passed. So basically what happened is I went for like a fifth year because the way that stuff happened for Penn State was in order to graduate, you basically needed to have that internship for my major, and that internship, like there was only a couple options in state college, which just sucked. So basically it was just like, well, I could just go for an extra semester and then finish it next year and get like an actual internship that makes sense. I really screwed it up though. Like my friend literally got an internship that he like worked 3 hours a month and they paid him like $500. I got one that paid me nothing and I was working like 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
you definitely messed that one up.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't do that correctly. But so anyways, that last semester where I was actually in school, so I needed one credit or three credits that were not like, you want to know what the credits were?
Sure. Yes, I do. I don't gym. Know. I think you're going to ask me to guess.
Gym. But so the issue was, here's the issue, is the only option I had was squash. And it was a legitimate 30-minute walk, and it was at 8 a.m.
Yeah, that's a hard no when you're.
So like the way that I like sold it to my parents was like, I'm going to do this and get a business minor, which I could have, but I instead just like failed every class that except for squash, which I got like a C in because the issue is so like you got like three absences that were like allowed. And then after that, each absence, you dropped a letter grade. And I needed to get a C in the class. So I ended up missing the three that you were allowed to miss very quickly. And then the other two I did not miss. But basically, so like I took in the spring semester of whatever the year it was. And I had missed the five that I could miss to get a C by like, I don't know, halfway because... why would I be there? Yeah. And the other classes, actually, so the other classes were funny. So I took an accounting class and nobody told me this, but so like I didn't go to class. Like I did not go unless there was a test. So I showed up for test days and I didn't go. So then I went to the final. I got a B on the final and then I got an F in the class. And I'm like, why did I get an F in the class? And apparently there was like a attendance policy that no one told me about. So I just literally, I'm like, why did no one tell me about this? So because I knew what I was doing. So I just was able to get beat. So anyways, back to the gym class thing. So it basically took me 30 plus minutes to get there. So the one class I had after my birthday, I went and I was just literally vomiting. I took a trash can
right out. They're sweating.
Dude, it was like 2 days after, but so we went home and we went to, we had a party bus weekend in my hometown that weekend. And the class was Monday at 8 a.m. And I was still drunk Monday at 8 a.m. It was so bad. So I literally am just vomiting the entire class. But he's like, why are you here? I'm like, because I'll fail if I'm not here. And I cannot fail this class. Other classes I didn't care about. That class I cared about, sadly.
And now you don't even drink.
And now I don't even drink. To be fair, I didn't really drink in college. Like, in terms of, like, everyone, if you put, like, all your friends together, I was the least drinking of everybody.
I love it. I didn't even really drink in college. So this one class, I showed up still drunk.
I showed up to another class drunk too. So we had, it was towards the end of the semester. And we all hated this one professor. This one guy was so bad. This is how bad this professor was. He was so bad that everybody in the college, like I literally had a meeting with like the dean of the college to discuss how bad this dude was. But he was so bad that you know how this works. You're going to be like, yep, that checks out. Everybody in the college like recommended him for other jobs so that he would leave the college. So he literally got a big promotion. And I remember the school. He literally got a promotion the following year to go to NC State because NC State called him. They're like, this guy is the best dude ever, because the only way they could get rid of him because he was tenured. But so anyways, that week we had we had our last classes, and we actually got our one professor who we all really liked. He actually went out and drank with us, but our class was at like 7 for like that class. So we all went, his class finished the guy before at 2. And so we just went to the bar and we just drank from 2 to 7. And we just went to the guy that we hated's class, belligerently drunk. I also got kicked off. This is a good one. You'll like this one too, Laird. I got kicked off the bus once. I can remember exactly what it was, and it was ridiculous. So the way that the campus worked at Penn State is like you go to the bus stops, and like one loop ran this way, the other loop ran this way. So anyways, we would get on the bus. So it was me and like 7 of my buddies, and we're on the bus. And as we're walking on the bus, I was a Bills fan at the time, and J.P. Losman was the quarterback. And I said something, I'm like, J.P. Losman should just like off himself because he's so fucking bad. The bus driver would not move the bus until I got off. He was like, I'm going to call the police. I'm like, I literally did not do anything. And he's like, I'm going to make everybody late to go to class because you said that. I'm like, I literally said he should off himself. Like, I don't think that should result in me getting removed from
the bus. Got to support the team, Sean. Come on.
So anyways, everyone on the bus is just looking at me, and like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I don't know what to do because I'm going to miss class if I get off the bus, because you're going to miss class. So anyways, we had a test. So I tell my buddies, I'm like, just tell this dude that I'm going to be like 15 minutes late and got off the bus. And then I went to the bus station, like the bus department, whatever the place was afterwards, to get the guy fired. And I think I got him suspended because he was no longer on that route for like weeks. Well-deserved. I mean, well,
I was going to say, I'm sure you felt very good about yourself there.
Oh no, I literally, this is how much I wanted this guy's life to be ruined. I sat there for 5 hours at the bus station to get this guy fired or to get him like reprimanded.
Definitely sounds like
a good, you know, if you piss me off, Laird, you know, if you piss me off, I'm gonna, you're fucked. So anyways, yeah, I literally sat there because I showed up and they're like, yeah, like, you will just let the manager know. He'll be here in like 5 hours. I'm like, I'll wait. And I literally walked next door, grabbed Subway, and I just sat there. They're like, are you really gonna wait? I'm like, yep. They're like, don't you have class? I'm like, yep, I'll miss it. No big deal. So I skipped the rest of my class that day to, yep.
Fun fact from something you mentioned earlier, I actually have a business minor. And also, Sean did make it a double. Is that out today? Tomorrow. I hate that.
Actually, so funny thing is I talked about it on the Make It a Double Double. The story that led into the squash story, I talked about it on the Make It a Double Double.
Oh man, you're reusing content already. Come on. Yeah, I think you recorded that the day you got your haircut and shave, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was after that.
Right.
Yes.
And then they hold it for like days. I hate it so much. Mark, please. Like, it's.
Yeah, Mark's like, yeah, like, he's like, we have one this week. I'm like, who do you have this week? And there he's like, Keith. And I'm like, Keith, when you like released that 2 days ago. I'm like, how do you mean you have Keith this week? Like, anyways, Laird, let's get some funny Laird drunk stories from college.
I can't even, I'm too old, Sean. I can't even remember college. So it's not what this show is all about. Wait, where was that line? This was great. The one show that's reliably on the rails has now gone off the rails. This is what happens when Sawyer ends the game for us today.
Laird literally messaged me earlier today. He's like, I have no topic because they literally haven't posted anything. So like, we can't even really discuss it.
Actually, there is something to discuss. Thank you for that segue. So I was doing what you said you were trying to do and couldn't do it. Like, I've been making game week 463 lineups like for weeks.
I haven't been doing it for weeks, but I did look.
No. Well, I'm saying I've been doing it for weeks. And the more I do it, and I'm like, oh, is this competitive? Could this work? Will this work? And I'm like, it's so, like, I'm obviously always just going to, well, not obviously always. I believe I will always put my best lineup in the highest division I can. But without knowing the divisions, it's just really hard to like really figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, but so like, all right, so I'm going to ask you this question. Your gallery is a little weird, so I guess I'm going to use the rare. So like your best lineup, do you put it in rare challenger in season? Do you put it in rare all-star? Do you put it in rare challenger classic?
So
pretend you can make the best lineup in.
I know exactly what you're. Yeah. So I've done that. I have like six full drafts with like 12 lineups in each one. And the thing that I came to was if I think my best lineup is all-star rare, like my five best players with their best matchups. And I was thinking that if I do that, then I'm not getting promoted. Like if I have lineups in lower divisions, they're not going to be promoted because I'm not putting good lineups in there. And it's like, I don't know if I have more of an incentive to get all of my lineups into D1 or play all-star for the next 3 months, 6 months. And like, we just don't know. And I think 240 is plenty viable. Like I have super, like enough super rares for multiple entries in contenders and challengers, but I'm like, but maybe I should take it out and play 240, get some ETH. And yeah, it's a lot of people have said they're toying around. They're like, wow, I need a lot more, whatever goalies, or I need more cards. Or I don't think I necessarily need more cards, but I still have no idea where I should put everything. Yeah. And I've been doing this for weeks and I'm not sure if the division, like we don't, the prize pools will make every decision for me. I'm hoping.
Yeah, but like I don't even know if they're going to be able to make decisions because like you don't know the divisions per se, but right. Like you have an idea of that, like you're hypothetically, like you're in D1 classic, you're in D1 in season, you have all-star.
I don't like should if I'm in like D1 in classic and have no in-season cards, should I have a D1 in season also?
Probably. I mean, it probably depends on, like, what card you... Because they said that it's going to be based on, like, your gallery cards, right? I might not even have an in-season, like, D1 challenger because, like, I don't have very many cards.
Like, that all we know is that they're basically using gallery valuation to discuss... To determine division, but we have no idea if they're doing it by competition, if they're doing it by scarcity. Like, if you have all super rares, do you get a Division 1 in limited? Like, we have no idea. Yeah. And obviously, it all... Hopefully we see it tomorrow when the game week opens, but that's why it's like, it's very difficult for me to decide what to do because I think now, which I didn't feel yesterday or last week, I think that the global comps will be where I play most in the summer, but I just don't have any idea. And I think what's even worse is that there's nothing really stopping them from being like, oh yeah, here are the prizes for All-Star, like for this weekend. And I'm like, all right, I'll play All-Star. And then in 2 weeks, they're like, okay, we're taking 50% of that and we're going to throw it in the contenders. And it's like, whoa, 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 what? And like, who knows?
Yeah. No, I mean, I like literally, so here's the thing. I have no idea where to put any cards. Like, let's say I have a U23 card. Right. Let's say I have Jude Bellingham. Where the hell am I using Jude Bellingham? Like, where the hell am I using that card? Because I have no freaking idea.
Cap 240.
Yeah, I know where I'm not using him. It's Cap 240. So, like, I think for people that have consolidated to one region, their decisions are easier, right? Because like, you don't necessarily want to be playing, like, Global All-Star if you're, like, only a champ player. Probably. Probably, because you probably don't want guys that are not in that region, probably. But like,
can't you make the argument that if everybody does that, then like you're avoiding the better challenger cards? Because they're,
it's definitely possible. I will tell you, this past weekend, I was very confident that people were going to prioritize the shit out of the MLS special, and it made no sense because you just like, it was like the rare level. Like you should never have been prioritizing it last weekend because there's just too many people. You should be playing it elsewhere probably, because literally like last weekend it was an MLS special, but like All-Star was also an MLS special, and then like America was also an MLS special because there was like only the MLS and like minimal other games. So it was like very difficult. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is going to be in terms of like where to play players. I think what my default is going to be, Laird, and we've talked about this before, and I think this is probably what my default is going to end up being. I am going to play my best lineups, and wherever they realistically go is where I'm going to play them. So like if I have like two stud champs in season super rare, but I do not have a third, but I have an elite level champ classic, I will probably run it in champ classic instead of like using two elite guys and then a turd box that isn't as good, right?
Yep. Yeah. No, I think that's what you will do, and I think that's what most people won't do.
Oh yeah.
I think people are going to really jam in new season cards when they're probably better off playing them in classic for a few game weeks.
I mean, it's the same thing like this past weekend. Like, I mean, the MLS Super Rare contests were just like, you should not have been entering those with your best cards. And everybody was like, I literally said earlier in the week, last week, I was like, all I heard was people are like, in season MLS special, baby, all in, doesn't matter. And I'm just like, all right, if literally every single person's doing that, I'm not going to do that. Because I was literally, I'm like, all right, so MLS Super Rare weekly special. All right, I'm just going to play Global All-Star, where nobody's putting their cards, or even better, America, where definitely no one's putting their cards. And I'm just going to play against a completely diminished competition.
I think the one argument to playing them is like playing the in-season one this past game week, which again is like the lowest prize pool of the three, is just that every game week that we move on, there will be more people with cards.
Well, but it was also because like there's not many game weeks where like there's an MLS special and then Global All-Stars also right. An MLS special. Like this upcoming weekend, like the MLS special is actually an MLS special, whereas like there are 80 teams that are playing in America or 60, and there's 200 teams that are playing in Global. So like this past weekend, it was like there is the MLS special. America is MLS plus like 10 cards, and Global All-Star is like MLS plus like 10 teams or 20 teams.
Yeah.
So it's just like this weekend was different. Like this upcoming weekend, I would probably consider entering the MLS weekly special. But then again, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to be like, am I really going to use my Ricky Pooj in MLS weekly special with what probably is a like lesser lineup than what I could run them elsewhere?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what the decisions are going to come down to for a lot of people, of using really good cards surrounded by cards that are not as good because they just feel like they need to jam them in.
Yeah, the one spot that I feel pretty good about is that like contender cards. Although I don't even know. That's another thing too, is like you really, and I think this is like a this time of year thing, the best prices on cards are not in anything else but contender and challenger with MLS and Japan. Like, have you seen some of the Japan new season prices? So I'm just going to give you one and we will look at this because you're going to be like, wow. So Shotani, who's the third center back for Sanfrecce, what do you think his super rare is at?
I mean, I have no idea.
So his super, I think it's even more. Let me pull up my auctions on Sower right now. So Shotani super rare is... We actually don't have the correct number here, so something's up with Sower data because it's not 0.12. Click on the actual card and go to Sower.
It's not 0.192?
No, it's way over.
Oh.
For a 36-year-old Japanese defender. Not saying he's bad, like, great card, but...
0.3 right now?
And yes.
The floor is what? 0.16?
For the old. Which, I'll get into that too, but... So, how much do you think Kylian Mbappe super sold for this weekend?
Didn't it go for three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the best player in the world or 36-year-old Japanese guy, and there's not what you would classify as a huge difference. And again, like this guy.
Yeah, are you saying 0.3 and three is not that big of a difference?
Not for like what you're getting. Like in the past, that would have been like 0.3 and like 10 or 0.15 and 10. And it's just a massive difference.
I think the change working in Shiotani's favor is that there's like an upcoming J League special weekly.
Correct, but there's always going to be specials for stuff.
Not like this.
Yeah. So hopefully Vitaly is here, so he can look at this. But anyway, it's like, yeah, so you get like an in-season Mbappe for 3 ETH, and then you get a Shotani for 0.3. Like, that gap, like a month ago, you could buy the Shotani for 0.15. Like, you can still buy it for 0.15, and the auction went of Mbappe 1 of 10 for almost 9 ETH. So, like, it's just a big difference because people are prioritizing, like, MLS versus... they want the new season cards where they get a full run of new season cards. So, like, right now, I kind of would like to win... Like, if I'm winning rewards right now, I want to win, like, J-League and the MLS guys, right? Like, if you're going to finish high up in something where it's, like, a global all-star competition, you realistically want to win MLS, I think.
I mean, they're probably the... Yeah, I mean, they have the most...
Yeah, well, I mean, Cucho and Gil are going for, like, 1 ETH, and Mbappe is going for, like, 3.
Yeah.
But like, next year, at the start of the year, like, Gil's going to be, like, 0.5, and Mbappe is going to be, like, 7 right. or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it happens this time of year anyway.
But it seems to be more drastic than normal.
Maybe. The cash prizes make people do silly things. Huh? Surface was asking, what are the chances that we don't have our placements tomorrow for divisions, and SR Monkey said 0%, that they redid the rankings today, everything's ready to go.
Yeah, last time SR Monkey had something like this, he was adamant that J-League was going to be announced, and it was not announced.
I think it was MLS, actually. It was a day late.
Yeah, it was MLS. Yeah, but I mean, you got to knock him because he was wrong.
Philly Dilly said, the question is, will tier 3, 4, and 5 in-season, will they have value since overall there won't be many in-season cards? Not the case for classic. Does Sora have a reason to care about weaker classic cards?
So, no. The answer to me is we've talked about this. They need to find a way to give those type of cards value, some value, like zero, but like, and so I think Nanzo has said that those cards will have more value from like the end season because there's only so many cards. So here's my issue. I just don't think like a tier 4, tier 5 is going to have value in rare or limited, like at all. Super rare and unique, as you go upwards, they have more value because like, I don't
as
know
long if you play.
Yeah, if you get like a tier 4 that plays and is just like, this guy will start, even if he sucks, it's like an entry into it. So like, so
that's Brees, a bit of a unicorn, unfortunately, these days.
So Brees this weekend, he bought 2 shitbag uniques for the MLS special so that he could play because he wouldn't have been able to play and he got second. But like, if you looked at the MLS special this week, like there was one lineup that was good and that was like Pranksy's lineup that won. And then after that, it was like 7 piles where it's like people are playing like tier 4, tier 5 type guys because that's the only way that they can get them in them. So I do think that there's some, yeah. So like, I mean, Brees paid for Derek Williams and John Gallagher and he probably paid less than what he won. I'm not positive on that, but like, I think there's a reasonable chance he paid less than what, or he paid less for the two of them comparatively to what he won from them. So like, I think that you're going to see guys like that. Yeah. So he paid 0.214 for Derek Williams and he paid, let's see on John Gallagher. So he paid 0.214 for Williams. Gallagher's not opening for me. I'm having issues with this.
Not opening for me either.
Okay, so anyways, I just think
So the ETH wise, Williams was half the prize.
Yeah, and Gallagher's probably the other half. So like, he literally pretty much effectively just like
he won Gallagher.
What?
He won Gallagher.
Oh, so all right, so he won Gallagher. So like, I don't like at a for example, like at a limited level, like we'll just use John Gallagher as an example because Derek Williams sucks. That how are you going to use that as a limited and realistically like? Produced right, that's not really gonna happen. Same thing with like rares, like I don't really see how you use that card as a rare to make that happen. But like once you get up to super rares and uniques, those type of cards produce more value,
yeah,
because they're more usable to have entries into the in-season tournaments. But there needs to be more value with them, especially at the limited rare level, because those are 90% of the prizes or 80% right. of the yeah. prizes. So like, if 80% of the prizes have absolutely zero value, that's not a great thing. So
it's cap 220 season. That's all.
Yeah, but so like if they run weekly specials that are cap 220, then okay, yeah. These guys
cap 220 is running anyway. But But yeah, I think so.
I'm talking about like after the transition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. Kev Hurd said, I think that most of us will spread ourselves too thin and try to play everywhere at the detriment of strongest lineups, which is really a problem, I think, for a lot of people now. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's going to be a new thing. But So it's weird. You have this feeling that there are not as many competitions because it's like, oh, you only have champions, challengers, and contenders. But with the multi-entry, like, there are plenty of ways here.
Yeah. So
what do you think about this? Onda says San Fretcher are way overvalued compared to other J League clubs.
Sure. That probably makes sense. Like, I mean, they have some of the better pieces that have produced the best, but like, yeah, like, I mean, I bid on Chetani. That was more of a, like a mark, but like Ohashi, I was interested in Ohashi, but like, he's at like 0.3 and I think it's auction still running. And it's just like, I will get someone else. So Philly Dilly said, if they aren't selling classic cards and the price of classic and in seasons are divorced, I think SoRare would be fine with classic hitting near zero and all the money being spent on auction. The issue is, if classic cards are hitting near zero, the platform's probably over because nobody's going to play if they realistically can't sell or use those cards. And I know they can use them to win in season cards, but like if you have an Mbappe and he's worth $5 in a classic form in a rare version, the platform's just not realistically going to work. So they need to find ways to give those cards additional value. And to be fair, I actually think that they are. Like, I think that there is decent value in old cards, and people just have not noticed it yet.
I think that's fair.
I would like to talk about that, actually. Like, I think there's a very large misconception currently between classic and in-season competitions. I think they are giving away 60% of the value in rewards to classic. And I think they are giving away 40% of the reward value in season. Yes, classic is a lot more difficult to win. So effectively, like you can only, you'll win it like, there's like 4x the competition. So all of a sudden, classic is like, let's call it 25% of the reward values in classic based on like how the competition worked compared to the 40%. It's not that bad. And people are just, I don't think, giving enough credit to that. Especially like, especially as you go higher up. Like super rares, you get to use two super rares in an in-season competition and then going forward. And as far as we know, that's how it is. So like, I think there's a lot more value in classic cards than people are seeing. Like, to me, the gap shouldn't be, we talked about it before we had anything out about like what my expectations were, and I think with what we actually got, it's a lot closer than what the gap should be.
But can you make the argument that a 60-40 split actually favors the in-season because there are so many more people playing classic?
The in-season is still better, like, because it's getting 40%, like it's getting a full 40%, whereas like classic is getting 60%, but like you have triple the competition. So all of a sudden you're like, okay, well that 60% is really like 20% each game week. Cause you're sort of looking at it like that. Yeah. And so like classic is worse than in season still. However, it's not as bad as like what it is. Like if I can go buy Shotani super rare for like 0.12 right now, and his in season is like 0.35 or whatever it's gonna end up being, like that doesn't make much sense to me, especially the super level. And rares, like again, we talked about, like Mickey Imani had a 6x rare multiplier between in season and classic. Made no sense. If you like that, maybe that card should be double the price. Maybe his classic rare was too low, and then his in season was too high, and it should have been like, I don't know, 70, 80 bucks, and then like 130, something like that, instead of like 350 and 50. Like that didn't make much sense. So I just think the classic cards carry more value than what people are seeing. But the issue I think with this is that it's SoRare's responsibility to make people understand the classic cards are still really good and really productive. And maybe that's going to happen once people start winning cards in classic. Like maybe once we go, like someone's going to win like a Cucho rare and it's worth like $800, and it's like, oh wow, I was able to use, like I could literally build an entire stacked lineup for $800 and win a Cucho rare and make $800. So I think that there's going to be some merit from that perspective. But yeah, I think people are not valuing classic correctly currently.
So one thing I wanted to jump in on, and Nanzo and Quinny What's up, guys? Amazingly sending the same thing at the same time. But anyway, I was looking at super rare in-season challengers. So yep. This is the prize pool. We all know it's all cash. The current middle super rare threshold pays $320.
Yeah.
So in order to win more than that, you have to finish top three in Division One, top three in Division Two,
yeah,
and win Division Three. Those are the only people who will make more than the mid threshold.
Yeah.
Why would I play this instead of threshold?
Well, the threshold's hard to hit, but to your point,
this might be harder.
This might be harder. That's what I was going to say. The threshold's hard to hit, but this might be more difficult to hit. So no, I mean, we've talked about it, is I think at the higher levels, they are not incentivizing people to fully go at things.
Yeah. Like it's literally, what did I say? Seven people in all of super rare in-season challengers will win more than a threshold.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah. And like to realistically, like to like win something, you're probably going to have to finish like first. And like, if you finish first, you probably would have hit the high end threshold anyways. Cap 240. So like you could even go for the high, not even the mid. So if you win, right? If you win, you probably would have hit the high threshold, I would guess.
What is it? 460? It's really high.
No, it's like 525.
No, unique is not super.
Unique is, you're right. So the middle one is 400.
Yeah.
The middle
390. 390.
What?
The middle one is 390.
No, at super it's 400. Pretty sure. Confident because I select it every weekend. I mean, I'll let you look real quick. I'm pretty positive the middle is 400. I think the top is probably 455.
Four sixty. Yeah,
400, 320, 400, 460. Yeah, okay. I knew the mid was 400 because that's what I choose every week. But so like, yeah, if you put up 460 like that. That's probably more attainable than it is to like, but again, I guess in the other competition, you don't have a cap. So like you will hit it more frequently.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But also only one person wins more than you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nanzo said prices are officially all over the place. I bought a new season Agbadu unique last week, then sold his old season unique for more today.
Yep. Uniques are all over the place right now. I sold a goalie the other day, and I don't even know if it was good or not. I have no freaking idea.
What was it?
I sold Kim Jin Hyun for like $3,000.
Should I know who that is?
No. Cerezo Osaka's goalie. I sold him for like $3,000.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Yeah, the old goalie in Japan. I was like, all right. But I need to get in-season cards because like the issue is like goalies are difficult. At the unique level, like goalies are tough.
I bet.
Like it's really difficult. But so anyways, yeah, like I think there's a current, issue. Well, first of all, I think they're giving out way too much in the limited level. Like go back to your, the what you were just at. Well, you know, it's true.
I think it's a completely unnecessary criticism because this is where people play.
Yeah, but like the lineup in season limited cost like for contender probably cost like $40. So if you literally are winning and it's like you're getting $650 off of a $40 investment for the whole like ever, that is ridiculous comparatively to like people.
Yeah, I think it's much higher than that.
Okay, it's like $100. I don't think it can be that much. I don't think it can be that much.
Depends what your lineup is.
No, I'm saying like a good lineup. Like Eduardo costs $7. There's no way it's more than $100.
Later. He's fine.
Yeah, no, but I'm like, I mean, like I'll look at Sho Sasaki because like, so an in-season Sho Sasaki is 0.124. Is that like, let me see.
$20.
The end season though. So it's like $40. So like this lineup's going to cost you like $200.
Well, now we're at 200.
Yeah. But like, this is like the best lineup you can possibly make. Yeah, honestly, like $100 is for sure enough to make a lineup that's great. Like, if you win rare, like, you're not going to pay off the rare with that one win. Whereas, like, limited, you're paying it off, like, 5x. I'm saying if you, like...
So why don't you play it?
I do, but I don't give a shit. Like, it's just so...
But like, why not give a shit if you can win 600... If you can win 1,200 bucks if you're first, second, and third?
The stakes are too low for me to care.
1,200 bucks seems pretty good, Sean.
Yeah, the stakes are... Where are you getting 1,200 bucks from?
First, second, and third.
Oh, yeah, it's...
If the stakes are so cheap to get in, why wouldn't you just run the same lineup and finish first, second, and third?
I don't care enough to do that. I will, Lair. When it starts, I'm going to be running like rares in there because I'll have enough of them. I'll run a rare Mbappe and limited in-season champion for you.
It seems weird to not run a lineup that costs 100 bucks to win 1,200 bucks.
Yeah, I'm not.
Every game week, Sean. It's free money.
Sure. Are you going to be all over the limiteds?
I have my in-season. Actually, I don't have a contenders one. I have challengers. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, why don't you do it, Laird? That's $1,250 a week, Laird.
Because I don't think it's that easy to win.
Oh, but you can do it, Laird.
I don't think the ROI is as good as you say it is.
Get 26 and get 12 bucks. Do it 10 times. Boom, paid off.
Yeah, I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's enough money. I think they should pay more to limited so that I have a reason to play.
No. Yeah, I'm also let's make it three.
Would you rather an EPL super rare team or three Premier League rare teams?
Probably the super rare team, but I don't know. The rare team's going to be less variance. Oh, also, like, I'm not saying you're going to win limited because you're not going to win limited very often. So, like, let's just call that like what it is. Yeah, it's not easy to win, but I'm saying like if you win it and you literally pay off like your lineup by 6x, that doesn't happen in the other scarcities.
So I actually was talking about that with someone earlier today. I forget what it was. That's my biggest hesitation with super rare is that you're really not able to get everything back with one win.
No, and literally take me five, whereas limited it takes me like 1/5 place.
Right. And so if like I need to finish first five times or third, you know, in a podium five times, like that's a lot for someone like me. So like why should I keep going into super rare?
That what you're literally talking about. You're like, why should I play super rare when I can just play limited?
Yeah, it's more fun.
That's what we've talked about as an issue, Laird.
Fewer people to compete against. That's why.
Yes. But again, I totally agree with Nashy that like each scarcity should be the same prize pool. It should be like, yeah, obviously it's going to be easier if you are in unique to win compared to limited. That's the point. Like you're paying to have it be easier and more realistic for you to win. Same thing with DFS, same thing with poker. You're playing different sized fields because your entry fee is higher, which is like making those things happen.
Mm-hmm. But that's not the case.
It's not. Yeah. And the odds to win limited guys are not likely, but you do not even need to win limited. You can finish like 38th, like six times to pay off your thing. Whereas like you need to win like super rare, like five times, win it to pay it off. So it's a much different thing. But yeah, like you're not realistically going to win limiteds.
Mm-hmm. Not because you're bad, just because there are too many people.
Literally the best player in the world would not win limiteds frequently, like ever.
There was that one person who won every single one, not the same game week, obviously. Did you see that?
I mean, that's damn impressive.
I think that's the most impressive thing I've seen on So Rare.
I agree with that. That's definitely more.
I forget who it was, if anybody in the chat knows, but it was one person that has finished first place in every limited
competition. I'm pretty sure I sent it to you. And I agree. That's the most impressive feat anyone's had on So Rare. I don't think anyone can touch it. Like, that is so freaking hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've probably won most every competition that I've played.
Except limited.
Limited, I don't even have a podium. Although I did get fourth the other week. I was like, damn, that was close.
Was it a fake one, like Legends or something?
Actually, I think it was Legends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty sure it was Legends. I'm pretty sure I got fourth in Legends Limited the other week.
Philly Dilly said, to continue on my three ETH question, I think you can go three each of Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, and Champ Limited teams that are completely loaded, which includes Jude, Mbappe, et cetera. So would you rather that? So basically, what is that? 9, 12 limited lineups, 3 rare, or 1 super rare?
I mean, I would probably rather just like run as small as possible, because like the smaller stuff is treated better than the higher stuff. That said, the smaller stuff seems to go to the shitter a lot more frequently than the more expensive stuff.
What?
Also, like we're talking about this too from like what we have the info from the transitional period. We've been told by them that the like after transitional period, like the money should go up.
Yes.
Because they're not paying out gas anymore. They're not paying out the rest of the thresholds. Like, I think it's realistic. Well,
they're stopping All-Star now.
No, they're still paying podium. It's still decent. But like podium. It, yeah, but I'm saying like they're still paying threshold. Like if they, I think they're still paying like 150K a week in threshold, 100K a week.
I don't remember.
I think it was like 100K a week, and they're probably paying like another 20 and other shit. If they, if they add like another 100K a game week, like the other stuff should go up as we go. Like in theory, stuff should be higher next year than it is this year. In theory.
Yeah. How do you feel about this opinion that one, as you move up, you're just playing for second behind Pranks?
So it's a bit flawed. I saw the MPen thread, and like as someone who is literally nowhere near Pranksy's level, but has done better than almost anybody, it's not accurate. Like, I'm not going to win as frequently as Pranksy, but I can win a decent amount of the time. Like I asked the tally to see who has won Global All-Star Division One the most in the last calendar year. And so that's like 100 game weeks, and I probably cannot play 40 of them because I don't have European cards at that time. So like I pretty much am Asian and American. If they're not going, I can't really play. And a lot of midweeks I can't play because like again I don't have European cards. But I won it 6 times. I think the only person that had won it more than me was Bambi, and he had won it 11 times. And Bambi can play every game week. Always doesn't matter with the best cards. And my cards like aren't good. Like if you remove like Matt's Weaver, like my best card before like 3 weeks ago was like, I don't know, Anderson Lopez unique. Well, like it's not like special. And I was able to win. Now, what I will say at the unique level is if you're not already in the uniques, there's no reason for you to be going into uniques. Because in the past, right, I could buy one unique, play it in global and D2. What?
Sorry, Zarchi's here.
Oh, Zarchi's here. Welcome, Zarchi. Has Zarchi sold his whole gallery yet?
Yes. That's why
officially I'm officially gone. Oh, I can't even. Yeah, he's not even searchable right now. RIP, Zarchi Poo, another person we say goodbye to.
What do you mean? We just said hello.
Well, yeah, but hello and goodbye. So, it's not feasible to really go into uniques without spending a lot right now. But that said, if you come in and you spend a lot, you probably can pay it off, baby. But you have to be able to invest in the best card. You can't just come in and buy shit. But
that's what Nando said like previously.
What?
That's what Nando said when he was on that. Like, if you want to come in now, you need to like really.
Yeah. Like, you have to do what Pranksy did. Like, Pranksy came in, spent 40K so far in MLS and paid off 8 of it or what? I don't. I saw someone tweet it and have the numbers. But so we're like, realistically, like, I can play uniques because I'm already established in contender and challenger. So like me, I have to buy like 3 to 4 a season to like keep playing within season and out of season. Like I'll win some and I'll get some. The issue is that like the prize pool is very shallow. Like it only goes
that's,
out.
That's right. Putting it super nicely.
Like you like have to finish top 3. I do think the in-season stuff is a bit better because I think it goes down to like 7th or so. And you can win uniques that are viable to be played in there. And like, you can win like the best card. Like I could win a Carlos Gil unique in theory based on how stuff is going to be. And like, I mean, Carlos Gil unique went for 5 ETH. So if I win that, but again, like that goes to the discussion, like in that situation, is Classic better than in season? Because I cannot win 6 ETH worth of rewards in season. I can win like one. Yeah, Nanzo hated All-Star Unique. He prioritized it. He prioritized regions over it. That's Nanzo just saying he's bad, unfortunately. Like Nanzo just stinky. I prioritized it over the regions because the main reason I did that is because there was like ETH down to like 8th place. Or no, there was 12 rewards and it paid down to like 6th place in ETH. So like there was a reasonable shot if you finished like 6th, you could still get something valuable. But so anyways, back to what I was saying is you can come in now, and for you to come in now, like you have to buy 15 uniques for one lineup, right? And the reason I say that is because like you cannot have a super rare anymore. So you legitimately have to have a lineup plus depth at positions because you cannot have a guy that's out and then run a super rare and cover it. Like in the past, you could, okay, I have a unique and I'm going to run in D2 and get an upgrade and that's cool and that's helpful. Then it's like, all right, I got like 3 uniques. Now I can run Division 1 wherever with a couple super rares. And, oh, one of them got injured. Okay, no big deal. I'll go play them in super rare division. Cool, no big deal. No, whereas all of a sudden, then I have like 6. And it's like, all right, now I definitely have the lineup. And then I can funnel a couple more into Division 2 or the super rare division. Now it's like you need 10 to 15. And if someone gets hurt, you are buying more because you have absolutely nowhere to play them otherwise.
I mean, you can play them in limited.
Yes, you can.
Maybe that's how you win limited, Sean.
Yes. Play a unique card with limited XP.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like, I mean, this is a whole nother thing, though. Like, this is the high-end stuff. The super and unique divisions are just not as appealing as they realistically should be, I do not believe. But I mean, the people that don't play those divisions are going to be like, oh my God, the whales are getting all the rewards. And it's like, no, it's not the case. Or it's going to be like, you can't compete without Pranksy being there. But like, you can compete. Some weeks Pranksy will make a mistake and or like Pranksy won't have the best matchups with some cards. But with how shallow stuff is, it is difficult. And I would not just come into uniques today. Like if I was not in uniques, I would not even be considering them.
Yeah.
At all.
I think that's reasonable.
But so like it's sort of like it is true and it's also not true. Like, can you compete? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes. Are the rewards worth it? Probably not. But like
someone, sounds awesome.
Someone like, yeah, but like here's the alternative. Like I have 60 uniques. What else am I supposed to do? I can't just sell them. Like I'm not going to get great value on them. I will return more playing them than if I sold them for not very much funds. So it's like an effed if I do, effed if I don't situation.
Did you see Pranksy's trade? Yes, was that yesterday for the Ben White one?
I did not.
He traded an old Aiden Morris unique for Ben White.
I'll tell you, I sure as shit wouldn't be playing champion level uniques because those are even thinner. Like they're giving out 2 rewards in like Premier League. I'm sure as shit ain't playing that. Like I wouldn't even come into that. Like I just would not buy it. Like I would literally never look at a champion unique again. Ever.
Like classic
anything champion, like the rewards are giving for champion are just like there's just no reason you should come in and play it at all.
Sorry, hold on, let me pull this up. I don't even know what they are because I don't care. So 6 rewards for classic champion.
Yeah, but like the Bundesliga one, I think, what are they giving Bundesliga, like 2? Or I guess that's not there yet because
we don't know yet.
But like so like here, right? So like if I finish, so looking at this, right? Let's scroll up a little bit here. So I'm not playing that. Like, I'm just not doing that. And the in season is terrible. Like, go to the in season one. The in season one, I think they literally pay like 3 places.
So champion is 5.
But like $220. Yeah, 200. Yeah. So like that's terrible. But so here's the other issue, right? With this. They're not doing loot boxes this year. Every other division, every other scarcity, they're giving loot boxes with decent rewards. This, they're not. So, like, yeah. If I finish in the top 25th percentile in super or rare, I can win a decent card. I cannot do that in this. So, like, I'm not interested in this what at all from the champions level because it's just super shallow and thin, and I can't compete. The classic.
Like you were like.
I did not.
Realistically, you were never going to be there, though.
I literally have never bought a champ.
Yeah.
Unique, but I end up. I had 10 because I've won them or they moved there, and it just like I had them. But like, if you scroll back down now to the like classic, so like, yeah, it's more about the ROI for the season. Like, Pranksy's going to have some DMPs, and like you're going to get some stuff over the course of the year. So like, for example, like here's classic champion. Now scroll down to classic challenger. So like, I've won global all-star 6 times in the last year. It's realistic to think I could win like global challenger 2 or 3 times this year based on me winning that previously with like those type of cards. Like most of the cards that I would use to win it were either in contender or in challenger. So they're going to be used here in this situation. And now these cards are going to be even more diluted because a lot of people are going to play in season as well. So it's like that. But anyway, so like if I win it 2 times, and I get $3,200 and 2 tier 1 uniques, like that goes a decent amount of the way towards paying things off for me. But that's because I have 60, 70 uniques that are already built in. I'm not going out and just buying new shit that like is great. I'm buying like I bought Daniel Saluy the other day for 0.8 ETH or whatever. It was like $3,000. Yeah. New season, 0.85. It was probably like $3,000. So that I bought that. Awesome. Yeah, I bought that for like $3,000. He's decent. Like if I buy 5 cards like that, it's gonna cost me like $15,000, and I finish first twice and get like reasonable tier 1 uniques, they're probably gonna be worth like 1 to 2 ETH and then 1,600. Like you're probably looking at like paying that off reasonably efficiently. And then like also like I'm gonna get 5th or 7th some, I'm gonna get 2nd some, I'm gonna get 4th some. Like you're gonna get other shit too. And it's realistic to be able to compete there to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's right. Mike said probably the time Pranksy's going to struggle is the super weekends when all leagues have their big teams playing each other, one in each half of the season. The problem is that like for the Premier League, like it doesn't matter what Bayern does that week.
Yeah.
Or if you have a Bayern stack, it doesn't matter what Man City's doing that week or Liverpool. Yeah. Like if you have the big stack in each of the big, you know, if he has the Barcelona or the Real Madrid, I don't know.
Yeah, and people are talking about like Pranksy is not going to sweep everything every week. Like I would go on, I would say if they ran the MLS special every week the rest of the season, he wouldn't do it again. Like he's just not going to do it that frequently. And the reason why he did it is because there are not a lot of cards out as of yet, and there is a lot of guys that are away on international duty that were
not. And the team he stacked was up a man for 81 minutes. Or like, however long it was.
Yeah, like it's just
it like not, the perfect storm.
Yeah, like it's just not going to happen over and over again. Like LAFC has been horrendous on the season. They did have a very good matchup this week. Like they're not always going to have a good matchup. They're like, and that's just that's how the MLS works. That I think people don't understand compared to other leagues. Like if you have a Bayern stack, Bayern is in a good spot every weekend except for when they play like Leverkusen, right? Like the MLS is just not the case. Like next weekend, LAFC might be a big underdog away. Whereas like Bayern Munich is not going to be a big underdog away to a bottom end team.
Right, right. I correct myself here. Willis didn't get sent off until the 62nd minute. For some reason, I thought it was much earlier than that. But
no, but I mean, they did. Like before that, nobody was like out of their minds.
Is the wrong, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, and I mean, if there was an LA team to stack, that wasn't it.
Go back to that. Like literally the only person that had a huge game there is Belonga. That's it. Everyone else is fine. Like there's a lot of other guys that are okay, but like no one else like went totally nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 50% bonus blows also. It really like I will say the 50%.
Well, it's another thing we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, we still have no idea if they're going to do 50%
bonus. It's going to be so disappointing when they actually do it. And we're just like...
Yeah, like here's the thing. It's really freaking stupid. But also like from that perspective, I know it benefits me because I have the best cards. So
the kicker is that for like consistency sake, like cap 240 will still be 20%.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, probably.
Although I guess 270 is 50.
I just see like, I see the dumb shit people do with their captain choices. And it's like, that is not the correct captain choice. Like I know that I typically will pick a good option at captain, because typically it is pretty obvious within your lineup like what the captain should be.
Yeah.
And I see what other people do, and it's just not optimal at all. And it's just,
well, everyone tends to just be like, oh, if this guy who has two goals all season and we're halfway through the season, if he just has three, I nail it.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to play this guy that if he doesn't get a decisive, he's going to put up 75.
Right.
And I'll play that guy and captain that guy. It's like, oh, he's had a horrendous game and had 70. Okay, no big deal. But the 50% captain is like really like, which to be Indian's fair.
Right here, just Captain Grimaldo every week.
To be fair, I've done that in one Champ Europe Rare Pro this month because of that. So like it does work. It's just the 50% captain thing definitely benefits the play the best cards and have the best cards. Like if you don't have the best cards, it makes it a lot more difficult. But it's just also like way less fun because like you really have to hit that guy, and that guy is so much more impactful than everyone else in the lineup.
Right. Like right now you can like, not if you're captain tanks, but if they're just like, okay, with a 20%, like it's all right at 50, you're probably just dead.
Yeah. Like if you go out there and you get like captain guy, he puts up like 58, you're like, all right. I mean, that's not great. But like the difference now between like you captain guy that puts up like 60 and the guy that puts up 100 is like 8 points. Now that gap is 60 points.
It's like 1,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's literally like if I captain a guy at 20%. So it's, if it's 20% XP, let's just pretend they have no XP. So it's like 120%. He puts up 60. All of a sudden I have 72. And then the guy that puts up 100, he's at like 120. So it's like 42. But if I do it's same numbers at 50, the gap is 60 points instead of 42. So it's just like a massive difference.
Yeah, it's
huge.
Please, so rare. Please.
It was just not fun either, right? Like, because it's just like, oh, your captain got like 50 and you're just kind of dead. It's like, that's not ideal.
Yeah, I feel like they think it's more fun, and it's definitely not.
It's not. It's way less fun. I mean, we did have someone last week say that they enjoyed it more, but that's literally the only person I've ever heard say that.
We found the one.
Yeah, we found the one. But must have been involved in the feedback segments. I don't know anyone that thinks that's more fun. I definitely don't. And this comes from someone that is like benefited by it probably.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I don't get it.
You got anything else?
No, I mean, I'm definitely interested to see prices, how they even out. I also am interested to see how stuff goes as the season goes on. Like, what's going to happen with MLS? Another issue that I think is going to become a very big issue, and we've talked about this before, shockingly, the prize pools are just going to be so, so, so screwed up in Challenger and Contender, especially at, like, the Super Rare level. Because I will give the example. They have auctioned, like, they've auctioned and rewarded like five Ricky Pooges already. So what's going to happen when it's like
super rare?
Super rare. They've given away three or two. Now there's only been three, but like they're going to use stuff that is so stale for MLS. And it's just going to be like, you're going to have a Ricky Pooge super rare that they auctioned, like, let's say May 15th. And then they're not going to auction another one till like August. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, well, this was just priced in May 15th. Well, it's like, yeah, that was like 30% of the way through their season, not 75%. And then also you have all these other leagues that are just starting in new season cards. I want those cards instead. They're going to have massive issues in Challenger and Contender with prize pools and managing price points because like
it's hard.
It's hard, but it's also like going to happen. And it's something that they need to figure out as well, because like the start of a new season, Jupiler League cards are going to be going through the roof and MLS cards are going to be tanking off at that time.
But yeah, I mean, they do that anyway.
Yeah, but it's going to be like even more pronounced. But like at the beginning of the season, you're going to like win an MLS card that was like 3 weeks ago more expensive than the old season Jupiler card that's now 3x its price point. Like Yamani was 6x. Like Yamani's in season versus old is 6x. So like all of a sudden you're going to get like a MLS card versus a new season challenger card. And it's just going to be like, woof. Philly Dilly said Sean has the only 2024 super rare Pooj. That is not correct at all.
Who else has them? This is all I have.
You know who has them, Laird. Laird, you know who has them. We've talked about it multiple times.
Pranksy has new ones? I don't know who.
You've had this segment on like four shows in the last like 2 weeks, and you and I have talked about it like multiple times. Who has won Pooj Super Rares? And why are they not showing up, Laird?
No, Andy won a rare.
Guys, I'm going to hit Laird with a moron of the day award here. Laird, I'm going to tell you this, and then you tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how big of a moron.
Oh, Roxy, sorry.
on a 1 to 10 scale, how stupid do you feel right now?
I mean, I like forgot something. So that, yes, no, I don't feel stupid at all.
No, but we've talked about it so many times. Yeah, so.
I think you talk about it a lot more than.
I mean, 100% have, but a lot of those times has been with you.
Does that
so
show
Roxy, up? Roxy has won 2 Pooj Super Rares, and they are in the abyss right now because he has not opened anything in 3 months.
Does this?
It must be. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one.
There's another 2. Click on it though. Like, show people what happens to it, because I don't think people understand it, because nobody can imagine that somebody has not opened rewards in months. There's the other one. So like, this is what happens when you go to this card. Jonathan asks, why has he not opened rewards in months? We don't know, but like, we're just going to guess that he is too rich to care to open right now. So yeah, like the last thing Roxy did on Sober other than set lineups was 126. So literally 3 months ago or 2 months ago. So like, yes, but the thing is it's not your card until you open the reward.
Right. I'm trying to see here. Hold on. So this Jan Leinard.
Yeah. The last reward he opened was almost 3 months ago.
Oops. Yeah.
And like, go to his gallery and you're going to see that card near the front of like his gallery, like on actual Sober. Yeah, we'll show you like what all he has that just is in the abyss. So like, you cannot even. Oh yeah, there it is. Like, Jan Leinard is one of the most prominent guys. So like, every reward he won after Jan Leinard, which was like 126, that's probably game week like 130, Laird, or 430. So like, scroll down to like 430, not 430, like 440. It's probably somewhere in that range. So, like, all of these cards, he has not. So, David said, good for your Pooj. Yes, I was very happy about that.
Did you say that was? For what?
I guess it was around, like, 440, but it didn't say. He opened it the 7th, so it's before that. It's, like, 439, so I was in the ballpark. So, like, go back a little bit further.
God, this is crazy. There he is.
Yeah, right there. Every card since that Leinard card is just in the abyss right now. So like, all of these cards that you see are just like there, but he hasn't opened them. So like, he doesn't own them currently. Like, I mean, granted, some of them are not special, like, but like, some of them are pretty damn good cards.
Do you think Nellis convinced him to wait a full year and then they just open all of the rewards at once?
No.
Me neither.
But yeah, like, I mean, just look at all this. Like, look at all these cards. Like, that's like, what, 200, 300 cards just in the abyss?
Like, the best part is that they're still doing, like, submitting teams.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's a...
unique.
I wonder if it's a script that just runs lineups. And he just like hasn't even been on the site. But I did ask someone the other day, and they said like he shows up as like online. So like, he's probably online. But yeah, so like, all those cards are owned by Roxy, but not owned by Roxy, and you just like can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Midioso, they are submitting teams. Like, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah, still submitting teams, winning all these rewards, and then just not opening them. So they're just like, not even to mention that, like, he probably has won like 20 ETH that's just sitting there because he hasn't collected it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know the exact number, but like, if you look at those, like, a lot of those were like wins that are in
right.
competition
that come with yeah, but they come with additional yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy. Well, so, Roxy, if you're out there and you want to open them all in a stream, we're here.
Yeah, so Philly Dilly said, I'm sure this happened to you guys. You want to buy a super that's only has like six minted and one or two of them are sitting in accounts that haven't been accessed for 6 months. I was so tilted when Roxy won the first one because that was like the one card I wanted to get. And I thought Roxy or I thought Pranksy was going to just obliterate me in an auction. So I was hoping that someone would win it and I could buy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go get it. Yeah.
Yeah, because like I have no idea when they're gonna auction another one. And that was like the one card I wanted for like entertainment purposes and like it's a good card. So I was just that was the card I wanted. And Roxy won it. And then I realized that it's in the abyss. And I'm just like, I can't go buy it. And like I won the auction, thank God. But like and then he won the next one, it's in the abyss. If he won the next one and I had not won the auction, Pranksy like pounded me out. And like just destroyed me with the auction, I would be so tilted right now because like the next Pooj might not be for like months.
Yeah,
might not be for like 1 month or two.
Yeah.
Did you see that Keith finally bought a Pooj super?
I did.
Yep.
Happy for him.
Yep. So, anyways, yeah, the most crazy part to me is he's probably just got 10 to 20 each just sitting there that is just uncollected in rewards. Like he's gonna open rewards and he's getting like 300, 400 cards. Like he's got to just crash like when he opens it.
Right? It's going to, yeah, it's crazy. Just crazy. Oh. Plus the ETH. Anyway, congrats to Roxy on all those wins. And yeah, Jonathan B said having a Vert super rare there is nuts. There's just a couple nuts.
There was like 10 cards there that were like high-end cards. Mm-hmm. I was talking to, who was I talking to? Oh, so like that's another thing is I think that this is just another off-topic thing, but I don't think people do a good enough job with the secondary markets or the markets in general. Like I think people are just not really trying to go for those cards at all right now.
Like buying the higher end cards?
Yeah. Like not even higher end cards, just like cards in general. Like I think people are just like very turned off by the secondary right now.
I think people are just, they just don't know what they want to do.
Well, people don't know what they do, but like also like Tuggy has been wanting a Osako super rare for like eternity, it feels like. And I'm like, go buy an Osako super. He's like, none are for sale. I'm like, no fucking shit, none are ever going to be for sale. Talk to people. He's like, well, like I've done it, like no one wants to sell. And I sat there, I'm like, literally someone sold one yesterday at what was a reasonable price. Like I'm like, clearly you did not talk to that person. If I will talk about this back to like the point that was being brought up by Philly Dilly, if there's a card I want and it's not listed and it's not like a realistic like option, I will look at every single owner that manager that has it. And like, if I see someone that I know who's difficult to deal with and I know who's reasonable to deal with, and I will literally look and I will, and if I don't know someone, I will literally message every single person on Discord that I can that has that card and be like, hey, I'm interested in this card. Are you interested in selling? A lot of them will just say no, and that's no big deal. I move on.
Someone doesn't hurt.
So like, Tuggy's like, there's just no way I can get an Osako super rare. I just like can't have. He likes, and then I'm like, just message people and talk to him. He had like three people willing to sell it within the day at that point, but like most of them were at a price point that was way higher than what he was willing to pay. I'm like, okay, no big deal. At least you know that's what
those you know,
are interested in. I'm like, and another thing is, I'm like, wait till you see what the new auction price is, because if the new auction price is lower. Most people, like especially super rares, right? So who was it this week that I was looking at? Oh, so I think I have like an Elber super rare, and someone's like, what do you want to sell your Elber super rare at? And I'm like, the last super rare was like a month ago, and the person that bought it is someone that's definitely probably overpaid on it. So I'm like, I don't know exactly what the price should be on it, but like a good example is typically what auction prices are. Like the auction price is this point, you can be like definitely under that. And at least that's because like someone's like, I want 2 ETH for an Osako super, and you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna pay 2 ETH. And then the auction goes for 0.6. You're like, hey, that went for 0.6. I'll give you 0.5. That's reasonable. And they're probably gonna be like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. Yeah, so Surface, here's the issue, right? I have an Osako super rare, and then Surface has one, and Tuggy talks to us probably more frequently, and he just asks us, and we're like, no. And then that's it. That's the extent of like where he would finish his conversations. I'm like, there's like 35 people that own one. Like, there's plenty of people to talk to. And sure enough, he talked to a couple people and finally got the job done. And then the auction happened and it went for way over what he paid. I'm like, perfect. That's a good deal for you. Jonathan, 170 viewers and only 29 likes. Guys, got to get the likes in. We had some good college stories for me. Unfortunately, Laird is a little bit over the hill and cannot remember any college stories. So, you know.
Thank you to everybody for joining. If you could please like, obviously, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny, who was here earlier. And tomorrow, new day, new beginning in So Rare. And we'll see what happens. So, yeah. Thank you to everybody. Good luck with your college stories. And see you around.